Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. This afternoon, we have a special edition of Show Talk with Angela Butler. We have with us this afternoon comedian Ron G. Ron G is a California-based comedian. So how are you doing this afternoon, Ron G?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm excited, sleepy, and relaxed at the same time.
Oh, okay. Excited, sleepy, and relaxed at the same
time.
Oh,
my goodness.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a massage early this morning, and I'm sleepy, but I'm in. It is amazing. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. How's the weather in California?
It is beautiful. It's probably like low 70s, super sunny. You can either wear a jacket or shorts, or you can wear them both at the same time, or a trench coat and a turtleneck and some flip flops. Like, we're having a combination. You can wear whatever you want today. It's nice outside.
Oh, okay. It's not such a trench coat, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here in Florida, it is hot.
Of course.
It's hot.
Of course. What part of Florida are you in?
I'm near Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Tell me something. Who influenced you to become a comedian?
Actually, one of my favorite comedians is Jamie Foxx, man. For me, he was the person that made comedy seem tangible, and I feel like we have a lot in common as far as, like, energy and perspective and stuff like that. Also, a big fan of Damon Wayans. I thought he was amazing, the way he stayed in characters for a really long time, man. I just remember watching his Def Jam special a long time ago, and I thought it was amazing. And Sinbad. I thought Sinbad was was amazing, too, at what he did to be clean and affect people the way he did. I thought it was he was just very influential in my life and as far as my comedy career.
Okay. All right. I read in your bio that Martin Lawrence thought you were real funny.
Oh, man. Yeah, I did a show called Martin Lawrence First Amendment in D.C. And when I got off stage, man, Martin Lawrence, first of all, I couldn't believe I saw him. You know, he's like one of the comedy guys. And he just said, man, he said, you're a funny boy. Man. I was like, that made my day, man. I almost fainted when he said it. I had to keep it cool, but I almost fainted when he said that. It was one of the highlights of my career thus far.
Oh, okay. A great highlight of your career. All right. Do you know Mr. Martin Lawrence personally?
No, I don't. I just met him that time. That was my first time ever meeting him, and then for him to say that to me, like, that was one of the best films in the world.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
What type of comedy do you do? What is your specialty?
My style is clean, edgy, animated, and real. I won't say necessarily cerebral because I got a lot of just fun jokes too. But yeah, I've been described as high energy with an urban flair. If that makes sense. That's my style. That's my niche.
So it's called clean comedy with an urban flair. Okay.
Yep.
When you graduated from high school, what type of education did you decide that you wanted to have? What type of education?
Well, when I finished school, I knew I was going to go to college. I wound up attending the University of South Carolina, and I majored in finance and management. So I was an accountant for a while. I went through what I call the quarter life crisis, where you go to school for something, but your heart tells you something different. And I've been silly all my life, but I never knew I can do what I love for a living because I didn't grow up in that kind of environment, man. But my folks, they always let me, do what I wanted to do as far as if I had interest in stuff like playing football, being on the band and cool stuff like that. So, when I moved away, when I finished school, I kept getting fired. And my cousin, who lived in Atlanta, he was one of the people that influenced my career. And he said, dude, you one of the funniest cats I know. You ever thought about doing comedy? And he was a comedian at the time. And I was like, I don't know. And I actually got on stage and got booed and fell in love. I'm like, man, this is what I'm supposed to do with my life.
Okay, so you decided to go into comedy. So you had, I read somewhere that you had two degrees.
Yeah, finance management.
Finance management, okay. All right, what did your parents think? All right, you just answered the question, but I'm going to ask this. After you graduated, and since you're no longer, really with your, no longer a minor or anything like that, were your parents, even though they supported you all those years and everything, were they a little surprised that you decided to go become a comedian instead of pursuing?
They didn't get it at first. My parents didn't get it at first. You know, you want to be validated by your parents, but at first, like, my dad, you know, he was like, you know, why would you go to school all that time and then do something that has nothing to do with your, you know, do with your major? You know, my mom, you know, my first time getting on stage, I got booed, and I wanted to tell my mom because I was so excited that I at least got on stage. And she was like, did they pay you to get booed? And I was like, no. She's like, why are you doing it? And I was like, I don't know. I just like it, you know? But it wasn't until, like, you know, they saw me on TV, and they were like, man, you're really good at this, that, you know, my parents never looked back. Now they're my biggest fans, like my mom and my dad.
They're your biggest fans, so you have their support wholeheartedly. But
absolutely.
In the beginning, but in the beginning they were surprised. They didn't get it. Okay.
They didn't know what to do with it. Yeah, absolutely.
They
keeping unemployed. Me being unemployed and still got to pay the student loan back. Like, student loan, don't care nothing about your dreams. They want that money. They're like a pimp.
Yeah,
so, yeah, but it took a while for me to actually get good at it and to kind of find my niche and actually start getting paid for, you know, what I do. But I really love my job. I have the best job in the world.
Oh. So you're one of those people who are privileged to be able to work and make money and also love your job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get paid off my thoughts. So, you know, I can come up with something funny in the car or be in conversation with my friends. I'm like, I'm going to try that on stage. And I try it on stage. He makes it to TV. Next thing you know, it's a T-shirt and everybody else saying it. You know, like who else can do that with their life where they get paid off their thoughts?
Okay. When did you first begin your stand-up career?
When
did you first begin? Which area? Where did you first begin your stand-up career as a comedian?
Oh, well, I think you could. Well, I started out in Atlanta, Georgia. I think I started doing comedy like in 03. I mean, doing it 7. It's going on my 8th year. But I started out in Atlanta, Georgia at Uptown Comedy Club. Shout out to Uptown Comedy Club, Atlanta, Georgia. It was actually on Peachtree at the time, and I just remember going on stage during open mic on Sundays, which was called Apollo Night, better known as Boo Night. All the greatest have gotten booed there, and it was probably one of the scariest moments of my life, man. They got booed so much, and I used to be nervous at work on Friday for a boo that I was going to get on Sunday.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah, it was just that bad. Have you ever gotten booed before, Angela?
Yes.
You have gotten booed? Are you serious?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I
how did you possibly get booed? What did you do to get booed?
What did I do to get booed?
Please tell me. The people want to know.
It was when I was a Little League cheerleader, and they asked.
You boy cheerleader.
A Little League cheerleader in elementary school. I was about in 4th or 5th grade, and I refused to cheer because I was scared of the crowds of people, and then they booed me. the other cheerleader.
You got booed as a kid cheerleader?
Yeah, the kid, other kids did.
Hold
my
on, you got booed by the opposing team
game,
or like?
The Little League game.
Now, was the boo directly for you, like specifically, or just for the squad?
It was me. They booed me. They said, why won't Angela come out here and cheer? And the little football players would come out, come on out. And then they start booing me. They said, chicken. Walking and stuff. So yeah, it was
Boo the cheerleader. Your job is to make everybody happy. People boo you too. That is hilarious. That's rude. That is rude.
You're funny. Which restaurant are you the national spokesperson for?
Oh, hilarious. I think back in 06 when I moved out to LA, on my first commercial audition ever, I wound up being the spokesperson for a restaurant called Checkers. And Rally's is owned by the same people, but it's different names on different coasts. I think out here, West Coast, it's called Rally's, and back east, it's called Checkers. And I wound up being the spokesperson on my first commercial audition ever, and it was probably one of the best experiences I've ever had, too. Just, it's such a big, when I first got it, I turned it down because I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what a spokesperson was, but when I realized what it was, I was like, man, this is a really big deal, man. So they ran my commercials like every 15 minutes. I don't know if you were in Atlanta at the time or I think like the Midwest, they play my commercial like every 15 minutes, which was a really big deal.
Oh, okay, that's a really big deal. Oh, that really is a commercial like that. That means you're famous now.
Well, I'm popular. I'm pretty famous. I ain't quite famous yet. I'm popular. Like with people like, you look familiar. I know you from somewhere, but they don't really know where yet. But give me 2 more weeks, and I will be famous. Give me 2 weeks.
2 weeks. What's gonna happen in 2 weeks?
I don't know, but I would say 2 weeks. Just give me 2 weeks. It's closer than what I think. You know, L.A. one of the places your life can change tomorrow. You never know. But I work really hard. It's going to happen. So just give me 2 weeks, okay? That's a lot of questions.
Okay, give me 2 weeks. Okay.
Just give me 2 weeks.
You need a sit. you don't show.
Mm-hmm.
How did it feel being first place in the 2005 Sierra Miss Late Night Laugh-Off? How did that feel?
You know what? That competition actually one of those competitions that changed my life, because I was in a very dark place in my life because I was engaged at the time. And I felt like, and I was doing comedy, but I didn't know how to make money. And, like, to be engaged and, you know, y'all women, y'all like answers and y'all need security. And I didn't have security. You know, I just knew I had the dream and I was really good at it. But I was going to put my dream down to get a 9-to-5 and take care of my girl at the time. And I got really down and I got really depressed. And my homeboy, who's a comedian too, named Byron Bowers, in Atlanta, Georgia, he was like, dude, don't put your dream down. And the comedy competition came to town, and I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to try this comedy competition. If I win, I'm going to keep doing comedy. You know, and if I don't, then we'll see what happens. So anyway, I tried it out, and I wound up winning first place. I got on TV. They flew me out to Vegas, and for a comedian to perform in Vegas is a really, really big deal. So it changed my life, man, because I was really going to put my dream down. I didn't know any better. But that, after that, like, I never looked back. You know, I got disengaged. I moved to L.A., booked a commercial, and just the rest is history, man. So it's been really good. And so
Did you say disengaged?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's like when you redo it. Yeah, you be engaged, right. You get disengaged. It's like to undo it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Bill Bellamy, who's got jokes, you were a finalist in that. How did you go about auditioning for that? Did you have to audition for that, or did you just sign up for it? How did you do that?
Well, I perform at this comedy club called the Comedy Union in L.A. It's probably the only black-owned comedy club in L.A. And a place called the Comedy Union, and one of the producers there saw me and said they had a new show coming out. Her name is Ricky Hughes. Thank you, Ricky Hughes, for giving me my shot. She basically discovered me and asked me to come audition. And so I think a couple weeks later they had the audition, and I auditioned for it. And wound up making the show. And the show was basically a clean comedy competition. I think it was about, I know hundreds of contestants, but I think I wound up making the last two out of maybe 60, I think. And I got voted off the show, and I came back as a wild card, and I wound up making the last two, man. So it was a great experience, and I think that was the thing where most people remember me from.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, that was the show that gave me my big break, basically.
That is wonderful. You won contests. You've been a national spokesperson. Now you need your own television show, and everything will be great.
Oh, I'll wait. 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I told you 2 weeks. You're playing around. 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay.
It's going to happen in two weeks. Let me tell you something.
Okay. All right. It's going to happen in 2 weeks. Okay. That's good news. You say you started your career in Atlanta, Georgia. Where can you be seen doing stand-up comedy? If somebody wanted to buy a ticket and come see you, where would they come to? Do you travel?
Well, I travel a lot, too, but I'm a regular. I travel a lot, but I'm also a regular at almost every comedy club in Los Angeles. Like tonight, I'll be at the Comedy Union, which is on Pico and La Brea, 5040 West Pico Boulevard, on Pico and La Brea, right next to Roscoe's. If you know where L.A., or if you live in L.A., you know where Roscoe's is. Everybody know where Roscoe's is. And also every Sunday I'm at the Laugh Factory on Sunset Boulevard, which is called Chocolate Sundays. It's two shows, an 8 o'clock show and a 10 o'clock show, and I'm there every single Sunday. And, you know, if you just check out my calendar, which is GoRonji.com, my calendar is on there and has all my dates, all my show dates on there.
Okay, Ronji.com. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you most like to work with? Who would you like most to work with? Out of all the celebrities that have really become famous and made it as comedians, who would you most like to be in a show with or a film with? Do you have a favorite person?
That's a great
person.
That's a great question. Man, threw me off. Well, one of my favorite actors is Jeremy Piven. I don't know if you know who Jeremy Piven is, but he's actually he played the lawyer Ari from Entourage. Like, I'm a really big fan of him. I would love to be in a movie with Martin or Eddie Murphy. And somebody I'm missing. And I'm sure there's a bunch of beautiful women I would love to be in movies too with. But, that is a great question. But any of my comedy idols, I said like Martin, you know, Damon Wayans, Eddie Murphy, like to be in a movie with any one of those legends, man. And I wish if Bernie Mac was still around, I would love to do a movie with him. I thought he was absolutely amazing. And,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Okay. All right, listeners, we have with us tonight comedian Ron G.
Okay.
We're going to go to break. We're going to go to break. And
okay.
We're going to come back and talk some more to Ron
I'm
G.
I'm here, people.
All right. We'll be
All
back.
All right, let's pay some bills. We'll pay some bills. Okay.
Yeah, let's pay some bills. All right.
Let's pay some bills.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere. Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
All right, listeners, those were our commercials. And don't forget to cater to Conti Contino, the More Time to Sleep system that he's invented, the inventor. Don't forget Demetri Stewart of AtlantaAdvision.com. That's www.AtlantaAdvision.com. Do not forget Maurice and Abby Merriweather, the Vistalis couple. Don't forget to cater to them. They can be found on Facebook. And don't forget to buy X40's, the rapper from West Africa, his CD, Survival. All right, let's go back to our conversation and our interview with comedian Ron G. All right,
that was
Ron
a lot
G.
of credits, girl.
That was a lot of what?
A lot of credits. A lot of people you had to give a shout out to.
A lot of people give a shout out to. Okay,
yeah. Just want to thank you and give a shout out to James. He makes good waffles. And Gregory, he washes cars. And Keisha, she babysits all day long. She has really affordable rates. I just want to thank Solaris.
Okay. All right. Give a shout out. Is there anybody else you want to give a shout out to?
No, that's it. I want to give a shout out to my mom and my daddy. That's all that is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Okay. You're funny. You're very funny. It says in your bio, that you were a class clown. Is that true?
Man, I've been silly all my life. Oh, for real. Like I've been silly all my life, man. It's so funny how stuff I did as a kid, they all make me money now. So, I was the youngest kid, too. I feel like all youngest kids, like, we're weirdos. You know, we're the kid that's always in the way, always making little noises. I can be by myself and having a great time, and everybody, like, I could be in a crowd of people, but be by myself and still having a good time. You know what I'm saying? Talking to myself, and I've always been like that. It's been a little weird, but all those things now, all those little noises I used to make, even when I used to pick at, like, little girls when I was little, I used to become the girl, like, and become the character of the girl. And, like, that stuff now, like, makes me money. It's a really cool thing, man, just to realize, you know, how God wired you a certain kind of way. But it's a really cool thing, man.
Okay. Do you still work with Quincy Bonds of Fat Comedy?
Absolutely. That's my dude, man. He's one of the guys who gave me my shot in Atlanta. When I started doing comedy, I used to go to Uptown all the time and got booed. So he had a few comedy spots called, a brand called Fat Comedy, PHAT Comedy, and he had a room called Twisted Taco, which was in downtown Atlanta. And that's kind of how I found my voice, man. Like, I'm very grateful to Quincy, man. He's one of those people that allowed me the room to stretch and grow and help me find myself on stage, man. So shout out to Quincy Bonds, man, for believing in me and giving me a shot, back when I didn't even know I was funny.
Okay. He gave you a shot when you didn't know you were funny. All right. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I don't suppose you could tell anybody what's going to happen in 2 weeks. Like, is that confidential? As it is something you say.
Oh, something about to happen. My life about to change in 2 weeks. I don't even know myself. But when I find out, I'm going to let you know. We're going to do a follow-up show, and I'm going to let you know in 2 weeks what we got going on.
Okay. All right. You don't know yourself. Okay.
I don't even know, but something's going to happen in 2 weeks.
Something's going to happen in 2 weeks. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. You received your first standing ovation within 8 months after you became a comedian. So that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'll be seeing more of you on television. And that's what I feel like. That's my belief.
That's how I feel too.
Yes, that you're going to be a real celebrity, really popular and everything, famous.
Absolutely. It's been really good. Actually, I just shot a movie called Margin Wars, like butter. MarginWars.com is the website. But we had a premiere out here in L.A., and the film got really good reviews, man. So hopefully it makes it at least the DVD, TV, or the theaters. We'll see what happens. But it was a really cool movie, and I wound up being the lead in it, which was a big blessing because as a comedian, you want to know what you do on stage. You can also do it in the film, man. So I had a great time shooting it.
Could you give us a little synopsis? Synopsis of Marginal Wars, a little bit about it. Are you not allowed?
Ooh, bless your heart. She cannot get that word out. A little synopsis. a little significance. The significance of the movie is basically it was a period piece from like the late 60s, early 70s. I was a Jewish, Afro-Jew hippie trying to cross the U.S., trying to get to San Francisco from New York City, and my van breaks down in the middle of nowhere, which is like nowhere in Wisconsin. And come to find out, the town that I break down in is a butter town. They know we're making butter. But I find out that I can actually make some side money by selling margarine, which was illegal at the time. It was illegal to sell margarine in Wisconsin. So I wound up, you know, selling margarine like I'm selling some dope on the side, falling in love, going to jail, and a lot of other cool things happen too, which you have to watch the movie to find out. But it was a very cool film produced by David Rich. And he gave me a chance to really shine and be myself on camera, man, and I had a great time shooting it.
That's wonderful. I hope to see that in the theaters, too. I really do. I hope to see that on television or theaters or both, on DVD, too. Is it going to be on DVD?
It'll definitely at least be on DVD.
Okay. All right. Maybe I can get a copy of it. Maybe I can get a copy, a free copy.
Okay. Absolutely. If I get one, you get one. Okay.
Okay, all right.
My mom will get the first one, and
I'm gonna call you. I'm gonna call you up and say, "Where's my?" I'll send you an email or something to ask you for the free copy in about another month.
Well, that's what it's gonna be then. If you need to harass me, then harass me. I've been harassed before. This ain't new.
I'm not gonna harass you. I don't harass people. I don't harass people.
Yeah, that's funny.
What's wrong with I mean, why clean comedy? Why clean comedy?
When I started out doing comedy, I was a dirty comic. I didn't know any better. Like, that was the environment I came up in. But I got saved right around the time I got funny. And I had this older comedian named Jerry Farber in Atlanta, Georgia. He was always on me. He's like, "Man, you're really, you know, nice looking young man. Why do you curse so much?" And I'm like, "I didn't know. I didn't even know why. That's how I was raised, you know." And he's like, "Dude, you got a good look. You don't have to curse so much to be funny." And so the same place I went to was Uptown Comedy Club. I got booed. I went back, and I didn't curse, and I did really well. And I was like, maybe I'm not funny when I curse because I get booed every time I curse. And when I don't curse, I'll actually wind up doing well. So when that happened, it started something. So I just kind of stuck to it. And, you know, I felt like God told me, like, this is what I want you to do. I want you to affect the world and do comedy. But I want you to be clean and not compromised, you know. So that's my niche. Like, I that's what I do. And I will never compromise on that, and that's just my niche. And I want to give these kids some hope, let them know you don't have to be like everybody else and be successful, you know, because I didn't have anybody do that for me. So I look forward to being a role model to kids and, you know, being that little bit of hope where you don't have to be like everybody else just to be on or be successful.
Okay. What advice would you like to give to kids, to younger people? What advice would you like to give to them, especially the ones who want to be a comedian, who are funny in class and a little misguided maybe?
Who would want to be a comedian? I say get you a 9-to-5, get you a nice little stable job, and live on that. You don't comedy is for the chosen. You can't just come and do comedy, because comedy is one of the things that you can't do it for the money. If you do it for the money, you get really frustrated. But, you know, I've been really blessed. And one thing, I grew up in an environment, like I was born in South Carolina, where you live the formula. Basically, you go to school, you go to college, you get married, you have some kids, you retire, and you die. Like, that's the life you're supposed to live. But, you know, I never knew that you can actually do what you love for a living. So I still would suggest to any kid, go to college first, you know, major in something that you really love, so you have a head start as soon as you get out. Find your passion, find your purpose. So basically, when you don't hate Mondays. Like, for me, I don't hate Mondays. Every day is like a Friday to me, where I go to work and I do what I love. I really get paid off my thoughts, and it's the best feeling in the world. And so by doing that, you make yourself necessary. And so when, you know, companies are shutting down and laying people off, like, you don't think about this stuff. Like, for me, like, my money's actually increased since the economy has been bad, you know, because people always need to laugh. So that's my niche in life. And when you make yourself necessary, you'll always be necessary. So, I mean, that's the only thing I'll tell a kid. Like, and just find out what you love to do and try to be the best, absolute best at your craft, you know. Be the absolute best, top tier, where, you know, if it doesn't work out, you can't say you didn't, like, really try or you didn't give it 110%, you know. So that's okay. What I would tell the kid.
That's what you're going to tell. That's, you just told
them?
That's
what I'm going to tell them. That's what they need to know.
Okay. Do you perform at church, any churches, or have you in the past?
Absolutely. Part of my niche, too, I do really well at churches, too. And, you know, I'm always clean. I don't do any suggestive material as well. But I do talk about real stuff, real issues, stuff that I struggle with, stuff that I deal with. And I feel like it's necessary to do that in church, because some people forget that when you become saved, they feel like you can't have fun no more. So I try to shake all that up and, you know, walk on the edge, too, where church folks, they'll be like, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. But, you know, in a church environment, we act churchy. But outside of church, like, we act like normal people, which, you know, sometimes people get confused and think church is a culture. But church is in your heart, and church is who you are, you know. So we got to stop that, because you can't attract people to Christ by being all churchy and acting all super saved. You know, it don't work like that. So that's part of my niche, too.
Okay. All right. It's wonderful to know that there are men out there who have such high standards for themselves and who put the Lord first in their lives and who don't use those type of cuss words. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm not downing the ones who do. But
yeah,
I'm just saying it's just nice to know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the same way. I don't judge anybody that does curse, but that's just my niche. And I said, I definitely want to give these kids some hope and let people know, man, you can be Christian and have a good time. Like, I live a really great life. I've been to two different countries. I got stamps on my passport. You know, I travel the world. You know, I make people laugh for a living. Like, how great is my job, you know? So, but it wasn't until I actually got serious about God that God kind of gave me my purpose and, you know, gave me a reason for even being here. Most people, you know, spend their whole life trying to find what they like versus, like, living and doing what they like, you know? Because my pastor did the sermon one time, and he's like, you know, he played church for a long time, but he said the revelation was when I stopped playing church, a lot of people got blessed from it. So if he never got serious about, you know, doing the right thing, I probably would have never known that you can actually, you know that God has a purpose for life, for your life and a plan for your future. Like, I never knew that until, you know, he told me that, you know, until he got serious, like, it blessed other people. So for me, not to pursue my dream, I'm out of order, and other people can't be blessed, too, by what I'm doing, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right. That's true. That's very true. Other people are blessed because you can make people laugh and you can make people forget their problems for a little while. You know, so, yeah, you have a good point there. And you have I know you have a great career because you're very precise and orientated. I hope I pronounced it right. Don't laugh at me. And,
no, I know what you mean. That's the part.
Yeah, you're very well put together, and I really hope to see you in some films and everything, and and I hope to see you on stage one day.
Absolutely, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you came highly recommended by Mr. Quincy T. Barnes, Mr. Barnes, Quincy Barnes.
Absolutely. Shout out to Quincy Barnes, Fat Comedy, Twisted Taco.
Okay.
Appreciate you, brother.
All right, we're going to wrap up the show. Is there anything you'd like to add for the listeners that have called in? Most people just call into my show to listen that don't have internet access. They never ask any questions. I'm coming familiar with some of the numbers, but, you know, I'm not going to call anybody and harass nobody, you know. But is there something you'd like to say?
Yeah, first of all, I want to say, y'all please continue to support Miss Angela Butler and our radio show, man. I'm very grateful that she didn't give up on me. I'm always pretty busy, so she kept calling and making sure she reached out to me so I can do a show. So please continue to support the Angela Butler show. For myself, like I said, I'm always at the Laugh Factory on Sundays in Los Angeles. Go to my website, gorongg.com, G-O-R-O-N-G.com. It has my calendar, my schedule, everything on there. And also, if you're on Twitter, follow me on Twitter, which is at Comedian Ron G, Comedian R-O-N-G, and follow me on Twitter. Follow me, please. And, yeah, that's how you stay in touch with me. So I'm very grateful for you having me on the show. I want to tell everybody who heard the show to really dream big. You can always tell when you're moving in the right direction when the people close to you don't necessarily get it, which is a fine. It's okay. You know, it's okay not for everybody not to get your dream because it's your dream, and you got to own it, and you got to enjoy it and pursue it, and don't do anything else. Like, once you pursue your dreams, like, there's nothing that can stop you. Only you can, unless you shoot yourself in the foot, you're the only person that can stop you. So I want everybody to dream big, and thank you again for supporting me, Ron G, the R&B comedian. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Ron G. It's been wonderful having you on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you. All right, I look forward to having you again one day.
Give me two weeks.
Are you serious? I said that's something you say.
I don't know. I just say 2 weeks. That's what I always tell people, 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right, have a good afternoon. Thank
you. All right,
you.
Lady. Have a great day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, listeners, we've had with us tonight comedian Ron G. For those of you who are just tuning in, this is a 30-minute show. We do not have a second guest tonight, but I thank you all for calling in. The ones of you who did call in, tell your friends about Show Talk with Angela Butler. Don't forget the call-in number is 1-347-327-9376. You can call in and listen. Thank you all for calling in, and this will be archived on www.blogtalkradio.com. All right, thank you, and have a good night.
We appreciate you. Bye, everybody. Bye.